This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg, your spot for custom fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
All right, the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that started back in 1979. A sunny sky at the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo. A beautiful day for spring sports activities. I know some baseball and softball games taking place around the area today. I know some track last night. We'll get into that this morning with longtime girls track coach Todd Volker. They won the Riverdale invite last night up in Port Byron. I think they scored in 17 of 18 events, so he has another strong team here in the spring of 2024. He'll be on the program. Also, we'll talk with Dan Lee from the Illinois High School Association. Second time I've chatted with him. We'll talk about the esports postseason coming up. Yes, there's a state tournament series in that for a third year. And then the IHSA, also, they have produced a documentary on the state tournament series in chess. I always wanted to see a local team get a chess team here in our listening area. So that's kind of on the show today. And we talk about spring sports. I know you were out, Ty, earlier this week, saw the Sherrard baseball team play. I think they won a Mercy Rule game in five over Orion. What is it, their ninth?
Nine in a row. 10-1 on the season, 4-0 in the conference.
And they have a big doubleheader today over at the Joel Brunsvold complex at Sherrard, and they play Spring Valley Hall. And that was a wild game last year in the sectional final down at Knoxville. That, you know, that was a game that just kind of got away from them. But that was one of those wild games. And I know Hall has a strong baseball tradition, but I don't know much about what they're doing here in the spring of 2024. Now, one of their best players in baseball last year, Mac Rosetich, of course, was a great football player. Was he a preferred walk-on for Illinois football? But he got on the field, right?
Yeah, played specials. I think he has a chance to start at safety this year.
Yeah. So what about is Hall still – normally they're pretty good in baseball.
I think they're like 8-9-4. They're okay. Off to a good start.
So that'll be a good doubleheader today and time to get over – at the Joel Brunsvold complex for that doubleheader.
Yeah, that should be fun. And then their Hall's in the local subsectional complex this year with all the schools. And I saw the sites, though, the regionals are Princeton and Hall this year for the baseball regionals locally.
So that's just basically one exit apart.
Right, Princeton and Spring Valley. And then the sectional is Chillicothe. And then the super sectional, if we had a team get there, would be in Geneseo.
So it's always interesting because I know a lot of people, when we always, you know, go over these postseason assignments, whether it's for what name whatever sport it is, everybody's like, why is it the, you know, regional here or wherever? Well, the first question always begs, are the local schools applying for it?
Right,
and if they're not applying for it, they ain't gonna get it.
Well, I know with the baseball subsectional locally, for a long time Hall was the only site they had, so I think they didn't have anybody else in the complex apply for it, and Princeton must have stepped up and said, we'll host it, because they hosted a regional in baseball last year too. That's where Sherrard won their regional in baseball a year ago. So yeah, those will be some long trips to the regional end of the sectional too.
And then who are the softball sites this year? Have they been
Riverdale and Rockridge?
Oh, so Rockridge got the softball
regional, and then the sectional is hosted by Peoria Notre Dame, which they're playing at the Louisville Slugger complex, I believe.
Yeah, so it's interesting when we talk about the, you know, the postseason. So the one thing about track, so we'll hear from Todd Volkert coming up, that Sherrard, the way the classification is for track this year, it's a three-class system. So Sherrard is in Class 2A this year in track, so for the next 2 years. And I think Todd Volkert was telling me their enrollment's about 420, and the top enrollment in 2A, the 2A, 3A cutoff in track is like 1,200.
Wow.
So they're competing in schools between 400 to 1,200. But, you know, a lot of coaches will say, oh, I'm not going to feel sorry for them. They win every year.
Right,
they, they won, or they scored in 17 of 18 events last night up at Riverdale, and they won that invite by a wide margin, and they won the Monmouth-Roseville invite by a wide margin. And I tell you, that's a coach, too. Todd Volkert, every year that I, you know, I think he told me 2000 was his first year as head coach. They win every year in track.
Yeah, they really do.
And it was interesting, so how he phrased it, and so, and we'll talk about it in the interview with him. He said, you know, only 24 kids. And so when he got done saying only 24 kids, I'm like, well, in today's environment, you know, 24 kids seems like a lot to me, but that's how things have changed so drastically since, you know, the early 2000s when he started coaching.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I mean, I don't know what the other schools around here have numbers-wise in track, but yeah, 24 seems like it's still pretty decent.
Yeah, and so other thing that's going on this week is the, let's see, Wednesday night we'll find out who the Mercer County girls basketball coach is to replace Kate Engwall. We had her on, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that?
Probably like a month ago now.
It's been a month ago already. So, but, you know, we were talking a little bit about this off the air that, you know, so it just, on the agenda, it says hire girls varsity basketball coach. So yesterday I got off the air and I went over to Ferg's in downtown Aledo. They're a neighbor of WRMJ's. And I went in there and I was eating and there were several, you know, locals like any pub in downtown, any town USA. And, of course, that subject matter comes up, and like nine people told me who the...
Right, everybody knows who it is, right?
And that always kind of aggravates me a little bit because...
Well, I was told that they don't want the information to be public before they hire them, to which my response was, you did a poor job at keeping that under wraps because everybody knows already. So,
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I like, everybody knows... So what does it matter? And some people will say you can't do it. And I'm like, well, other schools name their hires. So either you can or you can't.
And it's like a...
And everybody knows.
Right. And it's a high school basketball coach. It's not like they're...
Well, yeah. Because
like a government official,
by the same token, then why do you name who's resigning?
Right.
If it's personnel issues.
I agree with you on that.
So just name it. I mean, I don't know. And the other thing is, will you say... You know, they haven't officially been hired yet because the board's got to sign off on it. Okay, but you hire your administrators to hire your coaches. Either you entrust them to hire the head coach or you don't. So that aggravates me a little bit because it's like everybody knows.
Everybody getting mad this morning on Sportsline.
I'm not mad. I'm just like, everybody knows. So when we report Thursday morning that so-and-so has been named as girls basketball coach, somebody will post on... the WRMJ Facebook page, old news. Won't they? Or there'll be some, like, you know, personal...
It'll be me doing that.
So we'll find out on Wednesday about
that. Or maybe
they're
doing, like, a WWE swerve on us and they're going to actually hire somebody else.
I think that. I almost was going to get on the air and say the initials are...
Right.
But I'm not going to even do that because I've had conversations with school board members about it before, and it's always, you know, well, who's letting the information out?
Everybody.
It's like, are you talking to one person?
Yeah.
But I just
right.
But I remember one of my favorite stories now. They had used to, a long time ago, they had used to, this was way back when I first started, like in the 90s, Aledo used to have the names of teachers they would hire on the agenda. Mm-hmm. Because I remember when they hired Coach Welter, there was a misprint on the name, and it's instead of Colin Welter on the agenda, I'll never forget it said Colleen Welter. because Fred Nessler, I think, was the AD at the time. And I said, well, who's going to be the next football coach? And he goes, well, it's the math teacher that they're hiring. And I'm like, Colleen Welter? And he goes, no, that's a it's Cullen Welter is the new head coach. So anyway, but that I guess it's just old man.
Right.
Get off my
yells at cloud. Yeah.
Stuff.
We also this week had softball earlier in the week. Mercer County and Rock Ridge played. A Rock Ridge win, I believe it was 5-2 was the final.
So I'm assuming
Taylor
then,
Dietrich pitched a very good game for the Rockets that day.
So maybe the sky isn't falling yet for the Rockets.
No, but they
softball.
Did. They did lose a game this week to Sterling in
but
extra
Sterling's
innings,
got
3-2.
Very good softball.
Rock Ridge led 2-1 in the seventh, and then Sterling tied it in the eighth, and then scored in the seventh, and then won the game in 9 innings.
Was that game up there in Sterling, or was that down here?
It was in Sterling, yeah.
Because I think Sterling this year, they have the new complex for the field turf for all of their baseball and softball, I believe, now up there.
Yeah. Coach Cook said something kind of funny on the baseball broadcast.
You're kidding me. He got his A material out.
He was talking about, you know, he's like, because we were talking about how good of a start Sherrard was off to in baseball, and he's like, yeah, and over at Rock Ridge, the sky's falling because they've lost 2 games in softball. I'm like, yeah, but then they bounced back and beat Riverdale the other night. And then today, I believe they play Bureau Valley in a doubleheader. So, yeah, they're still very impressive. And like we talked about a few weeks ago when they lost that game to Ridgewood, it's like the expectations for them are so high that when you see them, oh, they lose a game to a Western Big Six opponent extra innings, you're like, what's wrong with them? Well, you know, they're not going to go 38-0 every year. And they're still very good. And I think they're still definitely the team to beat in the area when we get to the postseason.
So the other, of course, good rivalry in softball, but can you call it a rivalry when, I mean, basically everybody wants to beat Rock Ridge over the last 10 years, and they've beaten everybody. But, you know, Sherrard's heritage and tradition in softball has been pretty good, too, over the years. They're going to play a makeup doubleheader in the, you say, last week of the season?
On May 8th, it's the last week of the regular season, and they're probably the top 2 teams in the Track West. So, I mean, there's potential where they're basically playing for the conference championship, which should be pretty fun. I think the schedule works out. We should be able to broadcast the whole doubleheader, which I think I'm looking forward to. It's over at Sherrard, so that'll be a fun broadcast for us in a couple of weeks. I hope Rock Ridge and Sherrard keep taking care of business in the conference race, and they can hopefully both be something like 10-0 going into the final 2 conference games of the season. But, yeah, that's something to look forward to. It'll be a nice preview to the postseason, I think, because even last year, you know, Sherrard gave Rock Ridge a great game. You know, they played that game. It was like 29-23 over in Edgington.
So, and then they'll likely be, just like the boys' basketball season, they're likely going to be probably the top 2 seeds.
Well, Kewaunee beat Sherrard 8-6 this week, but then they just lost to Orion by 1 run, 16-15 yesterday. But so Kewaunee will be in the mix for a top 3, I think. And then depending on, I know Mercer County and Sherrard play next Wednesday, I think. And depending how that result is, I think if Mercer County gets beat by Sherrard, they probably are out of a race for the top 3, I would think. But if they beat them, then they have an argument too, I would say.
Yeah, and then if they don't, then they're filtered in based on geography, play at the Rock Ridge Regional. What is our broadcast schedule next week, which I know will be impacted, of course, by the Cardinals' schedule, too?
Tuesday, there's a heavy chance of rain, but Mercer County's scheduled to be at home against Sherrard in baseball, so we have that. And then Thursday, Mercer County at Ridgewood in softball. In Alpha, our broadcast this week.
Yeah, I've done a game over there. I did it on a picnic table many years
ago. There's not
a
press box?
Well, there is a press box, but nine other people were up there that day.
Typical.
So, and then anything else going on in the area with high school sports?
Today, I don't think so, really. We covered the Rock Ridge and Sherrard games. I think Mercer County today has a doubleheader in baseball against Abingdon Avon, who's pretty good. They're playing at A-Town. I don't know if that's in Abingdon or Avon, though. So,
and the Eagles, well, they had won 4 in a row to get to 5-5, and then they lost to Ridgewood in conference play in baseball.
Yeah, well, I think actually that's like a – in baseball in the LTC, there's divisions. So I think that was like a cross-divisional game. So I think they're still officially 2-0 in like conference play.
Oh, I didn't know they do divisions in baseball.
Yeah.
In softball.
Just baseball.
Just they don't in softball for some reason. Because softball, I know in the Lincoln Trail, like softball, they play everybody.
It's the Norris and Smythe division.
Well, they play everybody twice.
I need
softball
to get Jeff Parsons on the
phone.
So,
like,
and ask
they play like, I mean, there's like 20 conference games you play. I mean, it's crazy. I don't know how they even schedule any non conference games in softball, those Lincoln Trail schools. 20 conference games. Jeez. Because I remember last year, like, the last week of the season, it was like, oh, here's the conference race, and it's like Ridgewood 17-3, and Mercer County 16-4. I'm like, oh my God, is that all the games they play?
Yeah, that's a longer schedule than the Midwest League for the River Bandits.
That's like more conference games like in MLB that the teams play their division opponents, and there's 162 games in the season. So anyway, that's kind of an interesting scheduling quirk, I guess. I would prefer them do the divisions in softball too, just so it can free up the schedule a little bit. I know in the spring sports too, like having 20 conference games where you have to get 20 games in is really difficult with how many times games are rained out and everything. So it's amazing to me they even are able to like do that.
All right, I was thinking this too, and we had this week on our high school sports spotlight programming, which is available on demand at WRMJ.com.
Well, not this week because a whole week of stuff got wiped out.
Well,
we
had a Wednesday. Yeah. Oh, is it not up there anymore?
Yeah, the whole week of stuff just is gone.
Oh, so is the Jack McKnight interview?
It's gone, yeah. But we did talk to Jack McKnight. It was a great interview with the.
Oh, so those things have been wiped out. Okay.
Yeah, the whole week.
Oh, okay.
From April 4th to the 11th for some reason. We've had some issues with the website this week, everybody.
But anyway, and this is a guest we need to get in studio, and maybe we can do this next week, because I'm not sure if it's the following week. I'm not sure when the McLauk, so the new Golden Eagle invite in track has been renamed this year the McLauk invite.
Yeah,
so
great.
Jack McKnight mentioned that, and I think that's awesome, because I'd want a McLauk invite T-shirt.
Yeah, me too.
And there should be like a silhouette of McLauk on the T-shirt, because he deserves it. And he's I don't know what the protocol is for the Hall of Fame. You have to be out of teaching for whatever number of years, but they should make an exception to that, and he should be a first ballot, like, Hall of Famer unanimous, in my opinion. But I guess that's one, you know, the way the year ended last year, because our sports line ends, we couldn't get Coach Lauk in because of state track meet, I think, was basically the weekend of our last maybe sports line. So we need to get him on to promote that event, and maybe I can check on
week.
Doing that next week. And I should get Darren Bazzari and Jay Bazzari in studio with him, and then we should talk about old 1990s Westmer stories.
That'd get a lot of listeners.
Oh, man.
You know?
Those were the days. That was my most enjoyable era of working here, when Jay Bazzari coached at Westmer and Darren Bazzari coached at Westmer and Mick Lauk was the assistant coach. Man, that was so fun.
Jay Bazzari umpired the softball game we broadcast this week. He was in the field.
And by the way, tip of the cap, I saw, speaking of Jay Bazzari, and we'll have this on before the state track meet, I see Sean Strachan, who's
Strachan.
Doing, yeah, I see, who's a basketball official now, and it's the weird Rock Ridge crew of Sean Strachan, Jay Bazzari, and Marcus Bush,
yeah.
Right? And Jay Bazzari mentioned that Mr. Strachan has been assigned to either the girls or boys state track meet as an official. I don't know, like a starter or something, whatever the terminology is. But that's awesome, man. Good for him to get that recognition.
How many times do you think that PA announcers, when introducing Sean or Chloe, have pronounced their last name Strachan? That's why I always say
it. Or Carrie.
Mary,
who used to coach volleyball.
Everywhere I go, I always am like, they're going to call her Strachan. And then it's like, number 30, Chloe Strachan. I'm like, yep, I knew it. Oh, man.
All right. So, yeah, we need to think about getting McLauk on maybe next weekend, because I can't remember what date the McLauk invite is.
Might be a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
We'll
I guess I'm just saying that.
That.
I think it's like not next week, but the following week after that.
And then Mick Lauk can tell you the story, or I can have Jay Bazzari or Darren Bazzari tell you the story when the Quad City Thunder were still playing in the Continental Basketball Association. Now, I wasn't at this, unfortunately, because I was with those guys a lot of times socially, and I wasn't at this moment. But Mick Lauck, he was interacting with Benoit Benjamin, who was a great college basketball player at Creighton University and then played in the CBA for many years. And what is Mick, like 5'8", 5'9", something like that. So he's talking to him, and he tells Darren and Jay Bazzari, he gets in this basketball position, and he's like, look, he goes, I'm posting up Benoit Benjamin. That was such a great story. But only Mick or Darren or Jay can tell that story better. But there's no better coach in this area than Mick Lauck, or a better person, too. So we got to get him in here to properly recognize him for his contributions to youth and coaching and teaching. And well, yeah, because, and the other thing, you should feel honored, because the last year he was a teacher, you made the New Boston Elementary School layup chart.
I know.
And I'm like, I've been on that chart more than anybody.
It meant a lot to me to be on that. Yeah.
And then Cade Sharp was on it.
Cade was on it with me. It was a picture of me and Cade, yeah.
So anyway, and he can tell the significance of that story. But I know, like, when Mr. Bush was down there as elementary school principal, he'd just tell me some stories about the impact that Mick had on so many kids down there, which is so cool. I mean, what do you think?
Maybe we could get Emily Baldwin in with him next week, because we haven't had her on yet as the new boys track coach at Mercer County. So,
all right. Well, I think we'll
do some legwork on that.
All right. We'll have out of the break here from Todd Volkert, guy that's done a great job at Girard 24 years, and man, they're having a great year here in the spring of 2024. We'll get an update from the IHSA, and then we'll check in with Brian Roosh at WCCI Radio in Savannah. This is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning.
Building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Are you ready to step into style? Look no further than 6140 Run, your go-to destination for the latest in footwear fashion. Right now, 6140 Run has a great selection of Hey Dude shoes. And here's the kicker. You can buy one pair of Hey Dudes and get the second pair 30% off. Hey Dude shoes are the perfect combination of comfort and trendiness. Don't miss out on the chance to upgrade your shoe game. Visit 6140 Run in Galesburg today to get your pair of Hey Dude shoes.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com on a Saturday morning. Nice to see the weather breaking here in the spring with some ideal conditions over the next several days. And let's talk some outdoor track. We visit with longtime girls track coach over at Girard High School. That's Todd Volkert. They already have two big invite wins this year. They won down at Sunny Lane Field a couple of weeks ago, Monmouth-Roseville. That invite then last night up at Port Byron at the Riverdale invite. And they score in 17 of 18 events and win that. So, Todd Volkert, that's a nice start for the season. And when I see scoring in 17 of 18 events, you must have some pretty good balance on this roster.
Yeah, I'm really proud of the girls. And one of the things that we emphasize on the team, because we only have 24 girls and there's 18 events, and we talk a lot about how can you contribute to the team. And sometimes it might not be where you want to or what you think you're best at, but where's the opening? And, you know, we put a lot of emphasis on that. And the girls, you know, they want to be a part of stuff, and they're willing to go out on the limb and take chances in new events. And it, you know, it helps pay off for the team and for them. So,
well, it's interesting in today's environment when you say only 24 kids. To me, when you say that, I'm like, holy smokes, that's a lot of kids on the roster. But I know things have changed probably drastically when you started 24 years ago as a head coach to now in 2024. It's a, I know, numbers game. It's a different thing now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, the opportunities for young kids to go out and explore different things has changed, whether it's, you know, local theater groups or travel sports. There's so many options, and, you know, and they can't do everything. So they start picking and choosing, and we end up with 24 kids a year, more or less.
Well, tell us a little bit about, I know, let's start with the relays, because it looks like you really had a big night up at Port Byron. I think winning the 4x8, 4x1, 4x2, and 4x4. So what about those groups?
Yeah, our relays are really strong this year. We've got, you know, we got our top runners on the team, and right behind them, our second tier athletes are really, really good right now. And so, you know, it helps us to be able to put together some really solid relays, and they're running really fast right now.
And then I saw you get two wins in field events too. We talk a little bit about that balance. You had a discus champ last night and a high jump champ up at Riverdale. How good are you think this year in the field events at Sherrard?
You know, Sadie was a really nice discus hurdler for us last year, and she just missed out on state qualifying, and she's come into the season talking about, you know, I want to do better. And so she's been listening at practice and responding to the coaching really well. Cammy, that won the high jump, was a state qualifier last year in high jump for me. And she's just a really solid athlete. And then in the other field events, we lost Kelsey Hutchins, which, you know, she's obviously scored us a lot of points in long jump and triple jump last year. So we're searching for some girls to fill those roles for us. And the field events are where we thought we'd be good, we're really good, and where we knew we'd be searching for competitors, those girls are working hard. And I think by the end of the year, we're going to be pretty solid throughout all the field.
And then in terms of kind of your roster, so we talk about the balance of events. Now how does the classes break down in terms of freshman, sophomore, junior, senior? You're pretty balanced there, or you heavy in one class compared to a couple of others?
You know, I think we have 7 freshmen and 3 seniors. So the other 12 girls are, that's kind of a fairly even split between sophomore and juniors from that standpoint.
So I look at this year too. The other thing that's interesting is, you know, your track is a 3-class system, right? So, and yep. Sherrard's always on that kind of border between 1A, 2A, and the way the IHSA structure work, the structure works is it's basically the enrollment classification is a 2-year cycle. So you're above the 1A threshold. So in the 3-class system, you're participating in class 2A this spring. How much of a change will that be? Or because I think that's happened before, hasn't it? Or is this the first time for track?
We got moved up one time. I can't remember how long ago it was. One time back when they just did it on a yearly basis, we were up for 1 year. And then, you know, then we got dropped back down. And this season, I thought we'd be 1A because our enrollment, I think on the IHSA enrollment page, this is like the lowest enrollment we've had in the 30 years I've been here. And then I think mostly because of all the charter schools and lab schools in the Chicago area, it's pushed the numbers. I mean, it's really skewed them. So the cutoff ended up being 420 this year. And I think we're like 2 schools over that limit where we miss for like 3 kids or 2.5 kids or something like that. So it will, I mean, obviously it'll impact us because now we're running. We're basically the smallest school. The largest school, I believe, is somewhere around 1,200 students. So, we've got our challenges in front of us, but I think we can compete at that level, and I think we'll be okay.
So is track then, is it a 33%, 33%, 33% breakdown for the classes in terms of the member schools? Is that how it works? Do you know?
No, I think it's more almost like somewhere around 50-25-25.
Holy smokes. Yeah.
Just because there's so many small schools.
So you said about four. So the difference between you and the top enrollment school in Class 2A is between 420 and 1,200 kids. Wow, that's a big differential, man.
Yeah, I think Galesburg is the largest school in Class 2A.
So where do you go with the sectional assignment this year then?
We head over to Princeton.
That's where the 2A, so Princeton's a 2A school in track too then. So they're hosting the local girls track sectional. So it's interesting, you know, talking how long that you've been coaching, you know, for as a head coach, 24 years. And we talked a little bit about the numbers. I always like to kind of get, you know, input or feedback from coaches that have been doing it for a long time. You think we're still in a pretty good place with interscholastic athletics? I know the pandemic was a real weird time coming out of that, but hopefully that's in the rear view mirror. I'm curious where you think we're at in interscholastic athletics. You hit on a little thing about there's so many more opportunities for kids to do whatever they want that they maybe can choose outside of, you know, participating in interscholastic athletics because there's some other things they can do.
Yeah, I think overall high school sports will always be an important part of the culture. And, it'll take its hits like every other aspect. And sometimes it's really good and sometimes it's not. And I think it's okay because kids, they want to represent their schools and communities and it's still a part of it. But it's just different and you kind of have to change how you deal with it as a coach. And you got to try really hard to establish relationships with the kids where you're somebody that they want to make that choice to go be with.
I'm curious too, from just the athletic aspect of female athletics. So we've seen kind of the buzz that Caitlin Clark has created the past 2 years. Now I tell people she's created great interest to watch the sport, but I still think it's debatable what impact she's having on kids playing sports. I still question that because I look at some of the numbers. Now, I know, speaking specifically as it relates to basketball, you know, just in this area, the participation numbers haven't been great. And I just think there are always more kids, boys or girls, that could play whatever sport. So I guess the question is, I'm assuming there are probably some kids at Girard that are walking the hallways that could probably help out some sports programs, but for whatever reason, they're not.
Yeah, I'm sure I could probably walk down the hallway and, well, I know I could find numerous girls I think that would really help out not only my program, but all the sports programs. But I don't know, people, there's so many different things people are interested in. And I guess that's why there's all those opportunities out there.
All right. Well, you have the next big event is Friday, right? Next Friday, you're at the Rockridge Invite. Always great to run against the local schools.
This is still a really great area. There's great coaches at the local high schools around this area, and the competition's always really good. So we like running against the best.
All right. Well, the Tigers having another great year in girls track. Last night put on quite the performance up at Riverdale, winning that invite, scoring in 17 out of the 18 events, racking up 144 points, 24th year for Todd Volkert as head coach of the Girard girls track program. Coach, keep it rolling. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And you're listening to WRMJ.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Spring is in the air, and it's time to take your workouts outdoors with 6140 Run. Introducing the latest arrivals at 6140 Run, the Brooks Glycerin 21, Mizuno Wave Horizon, and Saucony Ride 17. Whether you're hitting the pavement or tackling the trails, these top-of-the-line running shoes will keep you comfortable every step of the way. Don't let anything hold you back this spring. Take the first step at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Ari's great to visit with our friends at the IHSA. I know we talk a lot of sports, but let's talk about a lot of activities, too. And we're going to do that today with Mr. Dan Lee. Second year with the IHSA. At the end of our conversation, we'll talk esports with that state tournament series coming up. But a pretty neat milestone this school year for the IHSA State Tournament Series in chess. Yes, for those people that don't know, the IHSA offers a state tournament series in chess, and a documentary has been produced celebrating 50 years of this great IHSA event. Dan Lee, tell us a little bit about this project.
Yeah, so going into this year, actually kind of going back to last year, and my first year here at the office, it was recognized at the end of last year that, that this year's tournament would be the 50th anniversary of the IHSA Team Chess State Tournament. And so once that was determined, we were brainstorming ideas throughout the fall and leading up to the event which was held in February of, what can we do to kind of commemorate this event and make it a special event. And so the idea was brought up to see if we could hire a videographer to capture some footage and also capture some testimonies from officials, coaches, and even some students, of the event to kind of reflect, on the IHSA Team Chess Tournament and commemorating its, 50th anniversary.
So that's great. And one of the things I saw in the press release, and by the way, you can view this on the IHSA's YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/IHSA. So it's, I know coming up this fall, I think it's the 50th year of the IHSA State Championship Football Series that started in 1974, but we reached 50 years with the IHSA Chess State Finals. So I'm going to read directly from this press release, which is pretty awesome. The IHSA Chess State Finals, which has grown into the largest team chess event, in the country, if not the world, since debuting during the 1974-75 school year. So that's something nice to hang your hat on, Mr. Dan Lee, right? Wow.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely is a unique tournament in a few different ways, and in this aspect of it, and what was stated in the press release. Yeah, definitely as far as the high school level, from what we're aware of, this is things could possibly change, but with other tournaments being developed at the national level as well. But this is definitely one of the largest high school tournaments that we are aware of. Just for some context, we have 128. High school teams that join us in Peoria at the Civic Center for this state final. Teams can have each match requires 8 players to play a match each round. We play 7 rounds over the course of 2 days. Teams can roster up to 12 students for alternates and substitutes. But yeah, so really, when you do the math, 128 teams and potentially up to 12 students per team. Yeah, we're usually anywhere around 1,400, 1,500 students, at the Civic Center taking in and participating in the event.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to ask. The venue for this is the Peoria Civic Center. And I think the other thing that was important for this last IHSA Chess State Finals was honoring the memory of really the man they called the father of the Illinois High School Chess Tournament, and that's Mike Zacade, who passed away in November of 2023. So this was kind of in conjunction with the documentary, is that right?
Yes, yeah. So, you know, we kind of coordinated and invited Betsy Zacade, Mike's daughter, who had been involved with the tournament in the past as well. And, you know, she came to as a kind of a guest and shared some old memorabilia at the event as well. And so, you know, just to commemorate the 50th anniversary, obviously this tournament wouldn't happen if it wasn't for Mike Zacade and his vision, you know, all those years ago. And so, yeah, so part of the celebration at this tournament was also to celebrate the memory of Mike and to kind of reminisce and allow a lot of the coaches and the officials who knew him well to just kind of reflect and, you know, and just kind of pay tribute to the person who essentially, you know, put it, this tournament to where it's at today.
All right. And this is the other cool thing here that I know, you know, there can be criticism about, you know, why is this basketball regional set up this way? You know, these teams need to be here, or why can't we go 1 through 32 in the, you know, high school football playoff brackets in class 2A? You know, we have these petty arguments with whatever. So that, you know, that's kind of the criticism. But I always tell people the easiest way for me to always defend the IHSA, very easy, is, folks, it's not about only athletics, right? It's about activities too. That's a big part of this. And I like, you know, the station I work for, I'm fortunate because we promote a lot of these activities that the IHSA offers, you know, state tournament, including chess. We're talking about that. Debate, drama, music, Scholastic Bowl, speech, journalism, esports. We'll talk about that a bit. And of course, bass fishing, right? So, I mean, can you speak to, you know, what that means to the association here, that folks, it's more about athletics. It's a lot of these great activities too. What does that mean to Dan Lee?
Yeah, no, I mean, these are all great avenues to continue to serve more students around the state. You know, not every student is going to be, you know, want to be a football player or want to be involved in basketball or be a cheerleader and things like that. So, you know, these are great opportunities for kids who have strengths and skill sets in other activities, that, you know, it just provides them an opportunity to compete, participate, you know, and just like anything else, just like you know, the camaraderie that you have on a basketball team or you know, or a softball team or and things like that, you know, chess and all these other activities kind of, you know, bring students together as well, so they can feel part of something, and again, and be able to showcase their skill sets and their passion for what they enjoy doing. So, you know, so from my end, you know, I won't speak on behalf of the association, but from my end, like I said, you know, these activities, you know, really just provide another opportunity for students to get involved, to again be a part of something, represent their school in a positive manner. And we're just you know, I'm just excited and happy to put on these events for these students, you know, to be able to showcase their abilities.
All right, so I want you, for our listening audience here, can you, you know, paint us the picture or describe what the atmosphere is at a, you know, state finals in IHSA chess, because we're so accustomed of, you know, the America's Original March Madness, you know, going to the state finals in basketball or football or volleyball or whatever. So you paint the picture here. What is it like for the state chess finals?
Yeah, so obviously, as I mentioned earlier, it's, you know, 1,400 to 1,500 students, 128 teams that all come down to Peoria and step into the Civic Center. And so, really, we utilize two main rooms at the Civic Center. We use one of their exhibit halls downstairs, which is, and that's utilized for a room that we call the Skittles Room, in terms of chess. And that's really just more of what I would consider a lounge, I guess, in a sense, when, you know, players aren't playing or in between rounds. That's just a place where players and teams can go to, you know, be out of the competition room and just kind of relax or practice, I guess, in a sense. So, you know, I think in the documentary, you know, some of the students who were interviewed, you know, they talked about how they go down to Skittles room and they, you know, kind of reflect back on the game they just played and talk about it with their teammates or even talk about it with their opponents too, and you know, kind of replay some moves, you know, that they could have done. So we have the Skittles room downstairs. The competition room is held upstairs in the ballroom. And so with 128 teams, we have 64 competition tables set up. It is, you know, and that's what makes our tournament, I would say, unique in comparison to other chess tournaments, is that ours is really set up to be a team versus team tournament. And I think some of the coaches, again, who were interviewed in the documentary, you know, they mentioned that as well, where it's truly, you know, just using local schools, for example, it's a normal community high school versus normal West high school in chess, you know, versus, you know, just having an individual from normal community play an individual from normal West, and then maybe having another individual from normal community playing a student from Bloomington. You know, so it is truly a team versus team format. So we have 64 competition tables set up, and, you know, it runs like clockwork. So, you know, the players and the coaches know when the rounds start. So as we get close, you know, players start filtering their way back into the competition area. We obviously have it determined. We use a program that's communicated to the coaches as well to tell them exactly what table they should be at, and, you know, what table number, who they're playing against. And so, you know, the teams and the players, they come up to the competition room. We don't really have to direct them. They have that information. So they go to their tables, they get set up. And then, you know, obviously there's a little bit of commotion when all that's going on. But then as soon as we say, all right, you know, the round has begun and you can start your clocks, like, it just kind of goes silent. And then all you hear is, you know, you just hear pieces moving and clocks being hit. And it's, you know, pretty much like that for up to 2 hours, which is about how long a round will take.
Well, and then I think, too, that, and I know when I talk to many IHSA administrators about whatever sport or activity that they're overseeing, how amazed are you at the talent that you get to see? I mean, it's got to be so awesome from your perspective to say, wow, man, I didn't expect this, but holy smokes, this kid, wow. I mean, and I'm sure there's a lot of those aha moments for you.
Yeah, you can definitely, the thing that really stands out to me, because again, I don't have a chess background, but I think that really stands out to me during the state chess tournament is as we go from round to round, just how much more intense that just you can feel that tension and that, you know, that intense level of competition increases as we get to those rounds. You know, we start with round one, and that, you know, we're, you know, it's a little more, it's a little more laid back, I guess. But again, once you start, you know, as we progress through the tournament, just like anything else, right? Just like March Madness, when you start getting to the Elite Eight, you expect the competition to get more competitive. And it's the same thing in chess. When we get to, you know, round four, which is the end of the first day, you know, those matches are getting much more competitive. And we obviously get to Saturday and we have, you know, three more rounds on Saturday, and we're, you know, trying to narrow it down and get down to our, you know, try to get down to two undefeated teams that are playing in round seven. You know, again, the intensity level increases. You kind of just have that feeling, and again, it's just really cool to see the, you know, you have players from within the teams that are competing, but then also, you know, players from other teams that they want to come and see those top tables, and see the competition and the chess that's being played by those students that are involved, you know, that are competing for some hardware.
All right. Well, that's always great. I always think, you know, this time of the year, everybody wants to watch the movie Hoosiers when we talk about the state basketball tournament series. And then I'm like, well, one of my favorite movies about chess is Searching for Bobby Fischer with Ben Kingsley starred in that, and Joe Mantegna. And I think Lawrence Fishburne is a good movie if you've ever seen it about chess. Searching for Bobby Fischer deals with a chess prodigy. But anyway, I digress. All right. So we talk about, you know, 50 years of IHSA state finals in chess. And again, that documentary, you can find it at youtube.com/IHSA. I think it's the third year for the esports state tournament series. And I was just looking here as we talk with Dan Lee with the IHSA. It looks to me like, I don't know, just, you know, kind of just scanning here with the sectional sites, it looks like, are the numbers growing for esports? It sure looks like it when you just look at these sectional sites.
Yeah, the numbers are certainly growing. I'm a former math teacher, so numbers are kind of my thing. So I've been keeping track and looking at the data. Obviously, this is year three of the IHC Esports State Series that we're preparing for. I wasn't around for year one. Kurt Gibson from our office was overseeing that at that time. But just with the data and the numbers that I have, so going from year one, I think IHC started off with about 125 schools that participated in the sectional competition. Last year, we were up to 157, and this year, we're up to 170. So, not as much of an increase in terms of number of teams, but when we're talking about individual students, looking at the numbers right now, last year, we had just over 1,600 students registered for the sectional, so 1,612, and this year, we're up to 1,946. So, we saw an increase of over 300 students getting involved this year, 13 more schools. And something that also stands out to me as I look at these numbers is the increase in participation in some of the game titles that we're offering. So last year was the first year that our state series offered a Mario Kart competition, and that's a four versus four team competition that we offer. And then we also offered Super Smash Brothers Crew Battle is what we call it, and that's a five versus five team competition. So last year was the first year that we offered those games, and just looking at those numbers from last year to this year, we have 31 more Mario Kart teams that are signed up to participate this year, and we have 22 more Crew Battle teams that are signed up to participate this year. So definitely, to go back to your question, it is certainly growing, and it's growing quickly. So we're excited about that, and looking forward to see where esports continues to go. And obviously, we have some decisions to make with regards to the future state series to make sure we're accommodating this growth appropriately.
And again, for this year, I think the sectional competition is the 20th of April, followed by the state series, or the state finals, the following weekend at Evergreen Park High School. So I was going to ask you then, what are the other games then as part of the state tournament series this year?
Yeah, so outside of Mario Kart and the Super Smash Brothers Crew Battle, we do have a Super Smash Brothers individual tournament where each school can enter up to two individuals. So that's just a one-on-one solo tournament that is held. Rocket League is another game that is played on the PC. We play the PC version of that, and that's a three versus three game that is played. And then for a sports game, we are currently offering EA Sports FC, which is a soccer game. It's formerly known as FIFA, but EA Sports has ended their partnership with FIFA, so they've just rebranded the game title to EA Sports FC.
All right, and then just before we let Dan Lee leave us, we've talked to him a lot here. The other thing I guess I'll say I like about esports is, for example, I'm looking at the normal Community West sectional. So there are big schools, of course, but I see a lot of small schools that have entered. I see the Erie Prophetstown Co-op there in Peru St. B. They're a pretty small school. Peoria Heights, Spoon River Valley, Maridosha Chambersburg, Liberty, I think, a school less than 100. Knoxville, Kewanee Weathersfield, pretty small. Illini Bluff, small. Elmwood, a small school. Cuba, also Athens, relatively speaking, is a small school. So you have to be pleased about the diversity of the kind of schools too, right? Big schools, small schools, schools in between participating in this thing.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, it just, again, offers another opportunity for students around the state, whether they're from a big school or a small school. This is certainly a growing sport. And so, yeah, we're just excited to provide this opportunity for as many schools as we can. And like I said, with the growth that we've seen over the course of just, going into year three, I anticipate that we'll have more schools get involved next year as well. And, and again, just we'll have to just continue to facilitate this growth appropriately. So, no, it's exciting to see for sure. And it just, again, and whether you're from a big school or a small school, it's an opportunity for any student to really get involved.
All right. So how do you, it's a great contrast for you. So you go from, the old board game chess to the new thing of esports. How do you like that contrast, I guess?
They're definitely both unique in all aspects. And, I also oversee boys and girls tennis as well. So, I do have a nice diverse I guess, grouping of sports and activities that I oversee. And like I said, each one has their own, you know, unique aspects to it, and the way that, you know, students react, you know, through the participation is just neat to watch. You know, like I said, in chess, you see a lot of, you know, I guess silent cheering, if that makes sense. And then where, you know, as an esports, you know, there's a little more communication for some of the team games, and those kids can get excited when they, you know, finish a competition and you know, they can be celebratory with, you know, with a victory. And so, yeah, so the emotions and the, you know, just the behaviors are just, you know, they're all unique in whatever sport and or activity that we oversee. And again, it's just a nice contrast and, to see.
All right. What a fun talk today here with Dan Lee, our friend with the IHSA, talking about, again, the State Series in Chess Celebrating 50 Years documentary on that, youtube.com/IHSA. You can find it there. And then the eSports State Tournament Series entering its third year. All right. Well, fun conversation, Mr. Dan Lee. Thanks for joining us today. Greatly appreciate it.
I appreciate the call, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Are you ready to step into style? Look no further than 6140 Run, your go-to destination for the latest in footwear fashion. Right now, 6140 Run has a great selection of Hey Dude shoes. And here's the kicker. You can buy one pair of Hey Dudes and get the second pair 30% off. Hey Dude shoes are the perfect combination of comfort and trendiness. Don't miss out on the chance to upgrade your shoe game. Visit 6140 Run in Galesburg today to get your pair of Hey Dude shoes.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roosh at WCCI Radio in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. And we're Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. And today, I know we've talked about spring sports, and we're all kind of tired of the weather and the ups and downs that we've seen. And maybe next week we'll see some nice temperatures, but we'll probably see rain. But Jim, I know that the IHSA has been very, I don't know, proactive in making sure that they continue to reach as many students as possible. And we've talked in the past about esports and about bass fishing, because you're trying to catch those kids that maybe the regular sports don't appeal to, and get them involved in a school activity. And you were telling me moments ago that, you know, both of those activities continue to grow.
So it's the third year for the eSports State Tournament Series. And for those people that don't know what eSports is, that's video games. Yes, there's a state title in that. I like it. A lot of kids play that. There's some creativity involved. And like you said, it reaches more kids, and they have an opportunity to participate in this activity. So third year for the State Tournament Series in eSports. So 124 schools in 2022. This year, 198 schools, and the sectional tournament for esports is next Saturday, April the 20th, and then the state finals in Evergreen Park on April the 27th. But just for your listening audience, I'm assuming you're probably going up to Hoffman Estates on April 20th, because West Carroll, their esports team, is at that sectional, and Eastland is at that sectional in Hoffman Estates. And I know I've spoken with Dan Lee, who's with the IHSA, and he oversees the eSports series. And he has been happy with the growth. And then I think the other thing he's been happy with is he's seeing more small schools kind of jumping on board. So what about Eastland and West Carroll with eSports teams?
Well, I hope they do well, and that's a long way to go for a sectional, but yeah, I don't know much about them, but you're going to put me to work here, Jim. I'm going to kind of research, find out who the coaches and advisors are, and maybe try to do a little preview of that next week.
And I know some of the – now, we don't have in our listing area, specifically the primary schools we cover, we don't have any esports teams entered yet. So what's going on there? But I know some small schools are at the normal Community West sectional, like Illini Bluffs, Kewanee Weathersfield, Knoxville. I know Liberty, a very small school, Elmwood, and then the Erie Prophetstown Co-op at the normal Community West sectional. But again, esports, third year for this state series, and we're seeing 198 schools now have teams. And you can learn more kind of how the process works at IHSA.org. Now, the bass fishing state tournament series started back in 2009 with 199 schools. And for the state tournament series here in 2024, 324 schools are now entered. The state series begins with the sectional on Thursday, May the 2nd. The state finals Thursday, May 16th through May 18th, which is a Saturday at Carlisle Lake. And I know the one, you know, covering this, basically, I started kind of in Brian's territory, Pool 13, just south of Savannah there off the Mississippi River. And I know kind of the Mercer County, our area has been talking about accessing the Mississippi River for a sectional site. And we finally got that this year in Pool 18. But Brian, I know this has been a sport or activity, whatever you want to call it, that has really taken off too. 199 schools in 2009 and 2024 and 324 in 2024. And I think also it's a state tournament series that has really garnered a lot of attention too here over the years.
Yeah, it has. And I want to thank you. A number of years back, you kind of introduced me to it. We went out to the sectional and kind of watched how things were done. And it is very intriguing. It's a process. And like a lot of sports, you're learning skills and you're making friendships that'll last a lifetime.
And as far as kind of the schools that are participating in these local bass fishing sectionals, again, May the 2nd. So at Pool 18, that kind of runs from New Boston to Gladstone, Mercer County, Anawan, West Central, Illini West, Geneseo, West Hancock, Knoxville, United, Rova, Sherrard, Stark County, and Williamsfield are in the field. Then Pool 13, that's south of Savannah there off the Mississippi River, Dakota, United Township, Fulton, Galena, Bureau Valley, Moline, they've had a proud tradition, Pearl City, Polo, Riverdale, Erie Prophetstown, Rock Island, West Carroll, and Newman Central Catholic. And I think the other neat thing you see here, Brian, is that a lot of small schools have really taken on this activity.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. You've got, you know, big schools, small schools, everybody kind of in between, kind of mixed in. And again, it's you know, great that the IHSA had some foresight to say, hey, let's bring some unorthodox events and activities into our fold to help reach more kids.
And, of course, they have the slogan and the great logo that says, the future fishes here. All right, great activities within the IHSA. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Toledo. And this is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about Return of Premium Term Insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on Return of Premium Insurance. Then relax and have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Spring is in the air, and it's time to take your workouts outdoors with 6140 Run. Introducing the latest arrivals at 6140 Run, the Brooks Glycerin 21, Mizuno Wave Horizon, and Saucony Ride 17. Whether you're hitting the pavement or tackling the trails, these top-of-the-line running shoes will keep you comfortable every step of the way. Don't let anything hold you back this spring. Take the first step at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
All right, back on the WMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning, wrapping up the show. Again, we thank Todd Volkert. Always great to visit with him, longtime Sherrard track coach. Also, Dan Lee, second year as an IHSA administrator. And I think May 2nd, we were talking a little bit about bass fishing. That's the sectional this year for bass fishing. And again, Pool 18, which stretches from New Boston to Gladstone, first time ever, is a bass fishing sectional. And United is the official host for that, so I'm trying to figure that out. I know most of the legwork was done in New Boston, but I know when we talked to Kurt Gibson during our state tournament show down in Champaign, he mentioned, you know, that he wanted to make a concerted effort before he retired to get a bass fishing sectional on a backwater in the Mercer County area, and he did that. And by the way, I was thinking, I think maybe this meeting this month, I think the IHSA will determine the schedule format for the boys and girls basketball state tournament going forward to next year. I think that's they had mentioned maybe the April meeting, and then we'll find out how the third place games and how the schedule is going to work for that, which was a big debatable topic during the basketball season. And I think they're going to provide some more clarity, too, I think, on the shot clock.
Here's what I hope happens with the state tournament schedule. Not that anybody really cares what I think, but I think that, one, all four state championship games should stay on Saturday. That's something they shouldn't change.
And I don't think they will.
I don't like – the things I don't like are how there are semifinal games played at 9:30 in the morning. I hate that.
Amen.
And I don't like – because there are no other times throughout the season.
And third-place games at 9:30 right. on Thursday night.
I think the third-place game should still be a thing, but I think that what you could do is the first day, if you're going to play six games, you could play six. You could play the 1A through 3A semifinals on Thursday. You could do the third-place games for all those games Friday along with the 4A semifinals. If you're going to play games at 9:30 in the morning, why not play a third-place game at 9:30 on that Saturday, the 4A1, and then you could start at the same time with the four state title games and have that. I think that's the bet, because I don't think they'll ever get 4 days from the University of Illinois to use the State Farm Center. I think they'll have to stay at three. So, with that being said, I think that's the best of the situation you can do. But like I said, the four state championship games on Saturday are great, and that should not be changed ever, in my opinion.
IHSA Associate Executive Director Ty Taylor, best wishes to you. I'm going to tell Matt Troha.
Hopefully,
said that. But they're going to. I think they're probably going to look at doing something like that. Yeah. What you just mentioned, I think, you know, because they get enough pushback on the I think more so on the 9:30 semi games.
Yeah, I just feel bad for those schools because it's such a. It's a big deal when you qualify for the state finals and anything, and I just think like having to play at 9:30 in the morning, it's just hard for people to get there, you know, and that's a huge game. You know, a lot of those schools are the biggest basketball game the school's ever been a part of, and I just think it takes away from the environment and from the experience a bit when it's that early in the morning that you're tipping off at, because there isn't another time in the entire season, you know, with maybe the exception of some like Christmas time tournaments where you're playing at 9:30 in the morning. I really don't like that for the kids.
At Western Hall. Right, that's where the Eagles are playing next
and
year.
The
they'll
Rockets.
Probably be doing that game. They'll play Brown County at 9:30.
Yeah, maybe they'll tip off the whole tournament. We'll be there all day, every day. I can't wait for that.
That's a fun
That's going to be a lot of fun. That's what I'm
one of the best, most things I'm looking forward to next year, biggest things I'm looking forward to, I should say, is that week. That'll be a lot of fun with two of our schools down in that field. It'll be
interesting to see if they play with the shot clock again next year.
I would assume they will.
Yeah, I would think so, too. So, Mercer County getting into that next
school
year. That's
going to be a lot of fun.
We talked about the schedule, how much it's changed with just getting a look at the basketball schedule next year with the conference change is Mercer County's basketball schedule next year. Holy smokes.
Yeah, it's good, very good, very strong. Yep.
Opponents that they have scheduled. We're talking about like the timing, the schedule for boys and girls basketball. Do we have to get out of here for Cardinal baseball?
Like, no, they play tonight.
Oh, so we got plenty of time.
7:10 first. We can be on till 6:15 p.m. the pregame if we want.
Well, we got
to
get Lily on the air,
right.
Voice tracking,
yeah, she's,
though.
She's
yeah.
ready.
No, so I hate to reference this on. I hate to drop names on the WRMJ Sports Line, but I saw one of the biggest experts on social media in Mercer County lore is Tony Nylene.
Yeah.
Can I mention his name?
Yeah, Tony. I love Tony.
Yeah, so he was talking about the ratings for the NCAA men versus women, and I think no question they knew that the women's tournament was going to be more compelling this year, really the last 2 years because of what Caitlin Clark has meant. But the other storylines with women's basketball have been bigger too, because I think more people generally can name two players in women's college basketball, maybe three. One, Caitlin Clark, two, Angel Reese.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
And then maybe Haley Van Lith.
And Paige Beckers and Juju Watkins. Yeah.
So, but I think the other thing I was interested to see what you thought about, like, so the NCAA. So I think the numbers that the women have generated this year are even more impressive because of, like, the championship game played at 2:00 on a Sunday afternoon. Right. To me, that even adds more to it than the men's numbers. And so I will still argue and say, because everybody says, we got to play prime time at night. And I'm like, no, why can't you play afternoon on the weekend at 2:00 like the women's tournament? They proved you could do it. And then, so the other thing too, and I've heard this conversation, is when did it become a thing where the NCAA men's tournament has to be pushed off the network?
Yeah,
and go to the cable channels.
This was the first year they did that,
I think. Well, why?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Because people, that's the other thing. People can't find the games.
Right.
And put it back on CBS, the semifinals and the finals. And I think, but even for the women, they're in a better place because all of their games are on ESPN, right?
Well, the championship was on ABC.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, that's basically a subsidiary
of
ESPN. They're under the same family. But, you know, like people say, is TBS, TNT, and then True TV.
Mm-hmm.
Are they college basketball channels? Well, yeah, basically for just 3 weeks.
Right.
Like, how do you get the question everybody always has is, what is channel? What channel is True TV on during the NCAA tournament? So I was disappointed that, for whatever reason it is, that they've taken the national championship game off of CBS for the men's.
Yeah,
I think that impacts the viewership.
Right. I think so, too. You're right.
And I say, and Glenn Cook agrees with me.
Yeah.
So you can play World Series games in the afternoon.
Well,
on the weekend. You don't have to play them at night. I disagree
100%. I disagree with you there because because that's during the NFL season. They don't want to go head-to-head with the NFL during the afternoon on a Sunday.
Well, I'm saying, well, what about Saturday?
They don't want to go head-to-head with college football on a Saturday. It's the same thing. I mean, it's just, that's the reason. I mean.
Well, and then the other thing, too. So what time did the one Illinois game start this year in the tournament?
Like 9:10, or it was 9:10.
And it was at 10:10 local time in Boston.
Right, when they played Iowa State.
And everybody was like going ballistic about how is that happening. And I'm telling people that, folks, wait until we see these schedules moving forward with the Big Ten expansion. You're going to see a lot of those type of game times and not always on Saturday. Right,
we started the show and ended the show with an old man yelling at a cloud.
I'm not. I'm
the
saying
the world should never change.
I'm not. No. I'll say when you say the Big Ten, I say the Big Ten with the 10 original teams.
Yeah.
Well, so that's what I'll always say is the Big Ten.
Right. That was a long time ago, though.
Well, because I think your Fighting Illini were the last team to go 9-0 in the Big Ten, in the traditional Big Ten. Did you know that?
No. In football?
1983, when Mike White was the head coach. There you go.
All right.
All right. So I was just wondering, I just thought that, you know, playing the women's game at 2 o'clock, and then for our listening audience, Tatum and Tegan and Nikki, we went over to whatever you want to call it, the welcome home celebration in Iowa City on Wednesday night. I think there were 9,000 people, but I thought it was interesting, you know, kind of the messaging that night was come back, you know, to the games. And it's going to be interesting to see. I think initially fans are going to come back, right? I think they'll get sellouts the first couple of games next year in the Big Ten. But after that, you know, will you see those type of numbers? I don't think so. I think you'll see more, but I don't think you're going to see sellouts.
It depends what their roster looks like. You know, I mean, there are a couple of players that are pretty big deals in the transfer portal of women's basketball right now, too. So we'll see.
But, yeah, well, then the...
They'll have nobody like Clark, though, with the impact she had. So.
And the Iowa City mayor said, you know, that just in Iowa City alone, that team this year generated $85.6 million.
Yeah.
I mean, that is astounding with what that program did this year. But fun celebration nonetheless. All right, so anything else as we wrap up here? What is our broadcast schedule again next week?
Mercer County Sherrard Baseball Tuesday. It's supposed to rain a lot, though, so that might not happen. That's at Northside. It's like a cancer fundraiser, too.
Yeah.
And then Thursday, Mercer County at Ridgewood and softball in a big game in the Lincoln Trail Conference.
And on the Sherrard baseball staff now, how many Mercer County kids are on that staff?
Anthony.
Just Anthony right now? Okay. So he'll be in the purple and gold, and he had good times
career. A.J. Hattelstad's an assistant for them who played at Sherrard, Rusty Plunkett, and Tori Leffel. It's all Sherrard guys and then Anthony.
All right. Well, that'll be you said rain in the forecast, though, Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah. All but right. I'm excited to see how that doubleheader turns out with Sherrard and Hall today in baseball. Yep. That'll be interesting.
Underway results. Already. You got plenty of time to get down to the ballpark and see that game over.
And then next week on Sportsline, we should have the new Mercer County girls basketball coach. The man or woman who that is, we'll see, I guess, right? And then we'll see who else is on the program next week.
Yeah. Go to Ferg's. If you want to find out who the girls' basketball coach is, go to Ferg's at lunchtime and ask three people that are sitting closest to you if they know who the girls' basketball coach is at Mercer County High School. Are there any other coaching openings at Mercer County going into next school
year? I don't believe so. Sherrard still has the opening. They haven't, or I should say they haven't hired their volleyball coach
I think
yet,
this
though.
Wednesday they're doing that.
Okay.
So they post their agenda on Monday, and the name will probably be on it.
So, all right. There we go.
All right. That'll do it for the WRMJ Sportsline on this Saturday morning. For Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor, WRMJ Sports.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 614-0 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots, Office Specialists in Galesburg, Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, Sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.